You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
If you have your Bibles, open to Exodus chapter 20 as we continue in our sermon series on the sixth commandment. If you got here on time, you know that you probably had to stand in the foyer a little while because we didn't finish on time, which I know you don't think's usual or unusual. But this morning, because of Bible school, Chuck and I had the privilege of teaching the first through fifth graders, and we got to teach twice each night. We did not get to put the normal time we put in a Sunday morning sermon, so the sermon basically is not finished. So we're just going to talk this morning, if that's all right. I'm just going to share with you, and I'll try to look at the clock and stop more on time in this service. But I do not have a finished outline, a finished sermon. I just want to talk to you about the sixth commandment of God, you shall not murder. Would you stand with me as we read God's word? You said, Brother, you just quoted it. I know. It's that simple. But I want you to look at that, what God says. Would you just turn to your neighbor and say, you shall not murder. Go ahead, turn to your neighbor. Yeah. Now, I know every one of us just thought that was a senseless exercise. Because there's not a one of you in here who believe when you turn to your neighbor that your neighbor was really considering murder. Most of us would never believe in the church, especially a hardened church, any of us would ever murder. But here's what the Bible says, you shall not murder. Now this is God talking to Moses, talking to the children of Israel, and through the Bible ultimately talking to us because our children learned this week that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. So would you just say to yourself out loud, I shall not murder. I shall not murder. Father, add your blessings to the reading of this your word. In your precious son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're just going to talk. I don't know about you, but it's been heavy on my heart. Digitally, I read the USA Today every day. Unless I'm in a place where it will not download onto my personal device, iPhone or iPad. I don't see the news much, but I read the news. I was heartbroken. A man in France drove a commercial truck full of grenades and explosives on Bastille Day, similar to our 4th of July celebrations, on a street that was completely blocked off to vehicles, and last I read, at least 84 people killed, 2 Americans, father and a son vacationing with his family and celebrating with the French people their freedom. And they were murdered. It seems like we hear that almost weekly now. And before that, an ex-military person trained in the United States of America to serve us, open fire on police officers in Dallas, Texas, killing 5 police officers, actually providing security for people to protest peacefully, the killing of a man outside a convenience store in Louisiana, and a man who was killed by police in a car in Minnesota during a traffic stop. Almost to the point that this becomes just daily news. Another few months and we're not going to think nothing about it. She's going to be part of our lives. Almost numb to what is happening and yet believing it could never happen here. You shall not murder. King James, that most of us cut our teeth on, was weaned on, didn't use the word murder. It used the word kill, and it said in Old English, thou shall not kill. To bring this into a modern context, there was actually 8 different words that the Hebrews had for the taking of life. And through modern scholarship, we now know that God wasn't just talking about killing. He was talking about murder. See, he's getting ready to lead his people into the promised land. They have been freed from slavery to the Egyptians. They're now, for the first time, going to live as a free people. And he wants them to make sure they have the foundations that their society should be built on. Principle that's going to reflect to the pagan nations around them who he actually is. And after entering into a covenant with them, he basically summarized the law with these 10 commandments. The first 4 have dealt with Israel and their relationship with God, and starting with the 5th one, the last 6 are going to deal with Israel's relationship with one another. And the first one that he established for us 2 weeks ago in this series, we paused last week because of VBS. Honor your father and mother. For see, going into the promised land, that key relationship that got us started, that literally shaped our view of the world and of God, was that home that we were reared in. And our mother and our father. And God says we're to honor our father and our mother. But the second command that deals with human relationships is a societal relationship. A prohibition that says you shall not kill unlawfully. In the Hebrew, there's just 2 words. Never murder. Murder is when you unlawfully take the lives of someone. There's an intent. There was a premeditation, so to speak. This word also encompasses the negligent taking of life, the careless taking of life. So what the Bible's saying is we should value life. The life of our fellow citizens, the life of other human beings, the lives of those people that we're going to live with as a community. And not just those inside our community, but those who literally encompass any relationship that we have. You shall not unlawfully take their life. I don't know about you, but many times when I read what I read and I hear what I hear and I see what I see, I want to blame somebody. And I'd really like to start with Hollywood, if I'd be okay. I mean, I would like to blame movies. I would like to blame music. I would really like to blame social media today. Did you know I discovered this week that according to the American Psychological Association, the average child raised in the United States of America will see on television 8 1,000 murders by the time they finished the fifth grade. And 100,000 acts of violence. You do know that a lot of children have trouble distinguishing that that's not real. Have you heard what many of our children are listening to when it comes to the lyrics of the music? Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman, writing for the Christianity Today. This is a man who trained our soldiers to go into war and believe it was okay to take the life of another person in war. He talked about how the military, some of you have been in the military, I haven't, but the military actually has to desensitize soldiers and condition them. Or when they go into battle, they can't pull the trigger. So the Army has a method to training a soldier to know in combat it's okay to take that life. Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman said that after studying the effect and the method behind the video gaming industry, that if you allow your kids to play video games where there is the taking of life, the same method is used in that game that's used by our American military. And we wonder why. See, I really want to blame somebody. But I am not evolutionary in my thinking. I'm biblical in my thinking. So here's what I know. I can't blame the media, and I can't blame music, and I can't blame movies only. I can't blame the culture in which I live, even though many call this the culture of death. Because see, when I open my Bible, when God created the first man and woman and they blew it and sin entered into the world, and then they give birth to their first children who were born with a sin nature, when those children brought their offerings to the Lord on their own as adults, one got mad because God accepted Abel's but rejected Cain's. And when Cain saw God accept Abel's and reject his, the Bible says he was angry and his countenance fell. That means he just dropped his head. He's angry. And God intervenes in his life and says, hey, Cain, watch it, buddy. Sin's crouching at your heart's door. If you're not careful, you're going to blow it. You're going to make a mistake that you're going to live to regret. And Cain blew off God. And if you read that story, and I mean you really read it, not just surface level, here's the thought you get. Cain kind of lures his brother to come out into the field where he is. And the word that the Bible uses for Cain killing Abel is the word that's used in the sacrifice of an animal to God. It's the slitting of the throat. He slit his throat. No movies. Probably no number one songs, not a radio station. No iPad, no iPod. You know what this tells me? Humanity's problem is not external. Humanity's problem's within. We have a sin problem. A sin problem to the point that Cain would devalue the life of his brother to the point that he would wish he wasn't here and he would take him out. And he did. Society will get so bad before Hollywood, before social media, that God steps in and destroys the world with a flood. And he starts over with Noah and his family. And he gives Noah and his family the same command he gave to Adam and to Eve. And that was to be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth. Now, something's a little different here. He now tells Noah and his family, hey, I'm now giving you the animals to eat. You can take the life of the animals. Just don't eat the blood. Because that's the life element. And then God says, and whatever you do, don't take the life of another man. Don't shed his blood. For if you shed another man's blood, you will sacrifice your life by your life being taken. Because man is made in my image. Did everybody hear this? One of the foundational principles of life, one of the foundational principles of government is this principle. We hold life sacred. All life is sacred. Not the life of animals. They are not sacred. That doesn't mean we're cruel to them. But it's okay for a man to go into the field and hunt and kill an animal. It's okay for man to eat meat and animals. They're not sacred. But you do not take the life of another man, because that other man or woman has been made in the image of God and they're an image bearer of God. Does everybody understand that? Are we in agreement? We're just talking, but are we in agreement? As society gets more and more away from this truth that man's made in the image of God and God is creator, you do understand that will no longer be the foundation of society. See, in biblical thinking, man's made in the image of God and we're an image bearer of God. But in the educational system of our world, it's evolutionary thinking. And we're just a higher form of the animal kingdom. This is why many people forbid the eating of meat, the forbidding of taking an animal's life, because man's not made in the image of God and the other's not. You understand what's going to happen the further and further away we get away from God? You understand how our thinking is going to get further and further away from the thinking of the world when we're basing our thinking on a document that we believe is the Word of God. We just taught over 400 children that we believe all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. You do get this, right? Not just man in Eden, Adam, created an image of God, but Adam and Eve created the image of God. And even after they fall, they still bear the image of God, even though it's marred, scarred, distorted, if I can say that. Sinful man still bears the image of God. I mean, Noah, after being rescued by God through the flood, what's the first thing he did? He went out and got drunk. So please understand that when man bears the image of God, it's distorted, it's marred, it's scarred. It's kind of like when I used to go to the Callaway County Fair. I'd go to the Callaway County Fair, and they had this house of mirrors. Do y'all remember the house of mirrors? You remember walking into that and the first mirror, whoa! What that mirror said about you wasn't real, right? I mean, you've got these little short legs, and they're about this wide. Then you go in the next mirror and you got this long skinny neck and this little bitty head. Then you go into the next mirror and you got this wide neck and this big old head. And you've got these little bitty skinny. Y'all remember that? See, I know you struggle to look at me and you struggle to look at others and really see the image of God. The lost world truly struggles to see in us the image of God because it's scarred, it's marred, it's distorted. But even in our sinfulness, we still, of all the living things, bear the image of God and we're image bearers to the world. Especially those of us who have seen the true image of God, and that's Jesus. And we've been reborn by the Spirit of God, and we've been set free from being a sinner, and we're being made more and more into the image of Christ. We are image bearers. So here's what Scripture says. Life is so sacred that you don't take somebody else's life, but if you do take someone else's life, you forfeit your own life. So please know this, even before the giving of the law to Israel as they went into the promised land, there was lawful taking of life. Murder is killing, but not all killing is murder. Some people don't believe that. Some people believe all killing is wrong, all killing is murder. That's not what this sixth commandment teaches. This sixth commandment does not teach us to be pacifists. What this command's teaching is that you and I, as human beings, have such a view of life that it is so sacred that we never kill unlawfully. So I hear somebody saying, so Brother Ricky, are you teaching that there is killing that's lawful? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I want to show you biblically lawful killing. Turn to Exodus 21. You know, that's just the next chapter over. See, we've got these 10, and then after we've got these 10, we've got the 613 laws. Well, the 613 laws just go into more detail about these 10. Does that make sense? So when you come to Exodus chapter 21, God's making sure Israel really gets the impact of the 10 because they've agreed to do everything God says to do, and they're getting ready to go into the land and be his people. So in Exodus 21, he starts going through some of the details of the law, so to speak. And when you come to verse 12, look what he says. Whoever strikes a man so that he dies shall be put to death. Now the Bible just said you shall not murder, you shall not kill. So if a man does kill, if a man does murder, if a man does take the life of another man, guess what happens to that man? He gets killed. Everybody understand that? Capital punishment. It's biblical. It's biblical. Why is it biblical? Because here's what God knows. To save life, you sometimes have to take life. But whose life do you take? You take the life of the person who does not value life. So if you value your life to the point that you take the life of another intentionally in a premeditated state, guess what? Your life gets taken from you. That's God's decision. That's God's authority. So everybody that went into the land knew that if I caused the death of another person intentionally, guess what? I forfeit my life. Now, what we're going to see in Romans chapter 13 is this, that God has ordained government. God's ordained state authority. He gives his authority to the state. And when it comes to governing people, God has said that the state, based on him, can take the life of people who do certain crimes that devalue life. And he basically says the Roman government has the right to bear the sword. To bear the sword meant to enforce death. So does everybody understand this? It's lawful for God and it's lawful for the state to take the life of a person who devalues life. Does that make sense? You don't have to agree with it because you don't have to agree with the Bible. But boy, you sure set yourself up to be outside of God's will when you don't agree with the Bible. Now look what this says. But if he did not lie in wait for him, but God let him fall into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place to which he may flee. So if the man didn't intentionally take the man's life, then what God is saying is, then you know this was allowed by me to happen. If it allowed by me to happen, but you didn't cause it, then here's what happened. You don't take your life, but you can flee to a place of refuge. Now, we know that's going to be a city of refuge that we're going to learn about in Numbers chapter 35 and Deuteronomy chapter 9. So has everybody got this? You accidentally take the life of somebody, you're probably going to prison. Involuntary manslaughter. If you're deemed to be a cause, but you did it accidentally, didn't mean to do it, didn't intentionally do it, you still pay a price. So taking the life of another is serious. But in this case, you don't lose your life. Does that make sense? But if a man, verse 14, willfully attacks another to kill him by cunning, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. So here's what this says. See back in that day, when a man went to church, when a man went to the temple and he's making a sacrifice there, if he had committed a crime, when they'd come to get him, he'd just cling to the altar. And the thought was, you know, if a man's at the altar making things right with God, we need to leave him there. Well, if a man's going to lose his life for the crime, he's never coming out of the altar. He's never letting go. So what God says is, if you know the man took the life of another man and he did it willfully, even if he's praying to me, even if he's in church, just come in and get him. Because he can't use religion. He can't use Christianity. He can't use God as a defense. He's guilty and he forfeits his life. Amen. If you take the life of another person intentionally and you're lost, I hope you get saved and you save your soul, but I still believe you lose your life. And I believe the state should take your life. Why? Because when we begin to let the people who devalue life live, pretty soon the whole society at large will devalue life. And if you don't think we devalue life, just look at what we entertain ourselves with. Listen to the lyrics of the number one songs in the land. Go watch the number one movies in the land. See what the number one hashtags are in the social media world. We go on. Y'all ready for this? Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Better be glad you're an American, not an Israelite. Or some of you had been dead a long time ago. I alluded to this 2 weeks ago. Why is dishonoring your mom and dad in a physical way a capital offense? Because that is the whole foundation of society. I tried to walk you through, even those of you who had ungodly parents, how to still honor your parents. The next thing says, whoever steals a man and sells him, and anyone found in possession of him shall be put to death. God would not allow his people to go into another land and capture a man, take him out of his culture and bring him into their land and sell that man and him be a slave to make that man's life better. God said, if you have a slave trader in your midst, you kill him. And if anybody's found in possession of a man who's been stolen, and is a slave against his will, you kill him too. Church, you listening to me? Don't you ever justify slavery. God said if you ever devalue a human being to the point that you would take them out of their culture and make them your slave, you forfeit the right to live. Don't say no. If he's found in your possession, you lose your life. It's the word of God. Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. I know some of you never hit your mom or your daddy, but you did curse at them, didn't you? That's a capital punishment in the life of Israel. Punishable by death. Let's go down to about verse 22, because we're going to run out of time. Joseph, we'll go down to verse 22. When men strive together and hit a pregnant woman so that her children come out, but there is no harm, the one who hit her shall surely be fined, as the woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judge is determined. But if there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. God, who created man out of dust and woman out of a rib, and then put them together, so valued them being fruitful and multiplying that he ordained the womb to be the place where life starts. That he said, hey, men, you better be careful when you're quarreling, because if you quarrel in the presence of a pregnant lady, it don't matter if you're drunk or not drunk, if one of you hit her and caused that child to be born, you better pray there's no harm to that child. Because if she goes into labor prematurely and that child's born and it's healthy, you're going to be brought to court and the husband's going to get to say what the fine is and you're going to pay for what you did. But if that child was harmed, see, have any of you ever heard that eye for eye, tooth for tooth? Most of you thought that was the context that if somebody hurt you, you hurt them back in proportion, right? That's not the context of this. Context of eye for eye, tooth for two is what context? First, an innocent child in the protection of his mother's womb, and you caused that child to be injured. Long before eye for eye is what? Life for life. I say this very sincerely. I say this humbly. I say this respectfully, because I deal with people who have taken the life of children in the womb. I ain't talking about they did it, but they allowed it to happen under pro-choice beliefs. So I say this respectfully. I do not say this condemningly. I do not say this arrogantly. I don't want any of you to amen. But I want you to hear the word of God. If you cause the death of a child in a mother's womb and you're an Israelite, you'd forfeit your life. Why? Because you took a life that bore the image of God and was an image bearer. If this was just a blob of tissue, God would not have been this harsh. God calls it a child. A few years ago, Ramae Lee was pregnant. She was so tickled to tell her boyfriend that she was pregnant. She told him he wasn't tickled. She wanted the child, he didn't. She started having that sickness He convinced her she needed an antibiotic. She thought she was taking an antibiotic that he gave her, but he had slipped her one of those pills that causes an abortion. And she started having contractions. She miscarried, and she lost the child. Prosecutors in the United States prosecuted him under the federal law of violence against the unborn, which is a life sentence. Do you know that? He pled guilty to killing his unborn baby, and they sentenced him to 13 years. I personally think he should have been sentenced. For someone to disregard the life of a baby in the womb, he should have been prosecuted. But I struggle philosophically of how a nation can hold the boyfriend responsible when the woman can go end the pregnancy without his sight. I know we live in a country that is the law of the land. But it's wrong. I have read, I don't say this boastfully, I have read every word of the Roe v. Wade decision that the Supreme Court rendered. Every word of it. Because I couldn't imagine how a group of men and how they could decide what they decided. And when I read it, I understood it. They basically said this: we do not know when life starts. Did you know that they took under advice the advice of church people? And when they brought the church people by and large in, part of the church argued and believed that life did not start till birth. And the Supreme Court said to the church in their ruling, not even the church itself agrees when life starts. I want to be clear. I believe this all my heart. If the Roe v. Wade decision could have been postponed from 1973 to 2015, with all of the modern medical technology we now have, and the medical community would show them from conception the beginning of life in the womb in 4D, there is no doubt that is not a blob of tissue, but a human being is in the life of that mother. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm saying that God so values human life, he doesn't value it just when we're born. He values it the moment we are conceived in our mother's womb, when he goes to work knitting us together to be who we are going to be. If you read the birth narrative of Jesus, it didn't start at his birth. It started when? At his conception. I do not believe there's any of us in here, in the church, who believes that Jesus became man at the moment of his birth. I don't believe you think Jesus was waiting in heaven until Mary gave birth. And when Mary was giving birth and the body was coming out of the chamber, that all of a sudden he became the Son of God. I don't believe you believe that. I believe you believe like I believe, that Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven and was in the womb of his mother Mary. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you have the right to choose of whether or not you have sex or not, before marriage or during marriage. But once you make that choice to have sex, you better be prepared that God has designed you in that union to probably give birth to a baby. Amen. See, what's capital punishment for? It's to save life. It's to save life. So there's lawful killing. Now, if you look with me in Exodus chapter 22, verse 2, and I just got 2 minutes. Look at Exodus 22, verse 2. Is it going to come up, Joseph, or do I need to read it? There it comes. If a thief is found breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there shall be no blood guilt for him. But if the sun has risen on him, there shall be blood guilt for him. He shall surely pay. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the stolen beast is found alive in his possession, whether it is an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he shall pay double. I believe this teaches that the second reason for lawful killing is this. If someone intrudes into your house and your life is threatened, you have the right to defend yourself and protect yourself. And when you do, there's no guilt associated to you. But now let me be careful here. Anything you have in that house is not more valuable, except the lives in that house, than that other life. So you do not have the right to take a man's life because he stole your TV, or he stole your money, or he stole your guns, or he stole your... That's the authority right to handle, not yours. Does that make sense? But if in a man breaking into your house, y'all quarrel and he dies, you're not held responsible. But if he's leaving your house and he's running down the driveway and he's got grandma's whatever, you do not have the right to take his life. Because we value life, not things that can be replaced. And the Bible says they will be replaced. Does that make sense? God does not authorize you and I to take justice into our hands. That is only reserved for God and government and their issuance of policemen and detectives. That's their authority, not our authority. We don't have time to go into this, but you do know that God ordained that Israel fight certain wars, and in the fighting of certain wars, people would lose their life. In the Christian church, we believe, based on what God teaches, that there is just war, but be careful, not all wars are just. The United States of America has made some big mistakes. We all know that. But one of the things I'm most proud of, I've never been in the military, but in everything I have read in the training of our soldiers are taught, we do not kill civilians, we only kill soldiers. And we only act proportionally. Which means what? I am so thankful that when 9-1-1 happened, we didn't do what a lot of people wanted to do, and that was drop a nuke on somebody. Because our Christian foundation says we value all lives. Not just Christian lives, but all lives. Not just black lives, not just Caucasian lives, not just Hispanic lives, all lives. Because what's built into the integrity of us as a people is we know that God has broken down that middle wall or partition between peoples. And that his plan is not for us to be divided, but under the Holy Spirit and salvation, for us to be a united people. Therefore, we value life. Amen. Now, I know you're saying, Brother Ricky, but nobody in this church is ever going to murder. Well, I'm over time, but I got to tell you this. Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, you shall not murder. I say to you, you know what he said, right? If you get angry with your brother, you're in danger of judgment. If you insult your brother, you're in danger. And if you call your brother a fool, guess what kind of danger you're in? The fire of hell danger. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 26. Now, listen. The Old Testament talks about the action of murder, but the New Testament talks about the attitude of murder, and the attitude of murder, is anybody who has a heart that hates. See, Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. So you know what I know? There's some murderers in here this morning. You've never physically taken the life of someone, but you've called people fools. You've wanted to take some people out, hadn't you? You've had some people do things to you or to your family that you really wish they didn't live on the planet anymore. Matter of fact, you've heard that saying, if looks could kill. How many people would be dead that you personally killed if your looks could have killed? Because there was hatred in your heart. John, who heard Jesus talk about this, wrote a letter, and look what he said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his. He's writing this to the church. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brother, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Wow. See, let me tell you what fuels, Jesus said, somebody to take the life of another. Hatred. But the ultimate act of love, opposite of hatred, is laying your life down for someone. Do you see that? So in God's economy, he looks into your heart, and you hadn't committed the act yet, but you're already a murderer. Because you hate. You hate. To those people you hate, are you going to lay your life down for them? No way are you going to, because you hate them. You wish they wasn't here. As far as you're concerned, they're on their own. You no longer value their life. I even heard people say they wished Osama bin Laden burned in hell forever for what he did. And you think you have the right to say that? Would somebody tell me who was righteous that Jesus Christ died for? Would somebody tell me where our New Testament anywhere says that Christ came to die for the righteous? Who'd he come to die for? Sinners. Matter of fact, when they put him on that cross, he looked out of that crowd of people who was murdering him, and what did he say? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. If we had to interview those guys, right, every one of them said they knew what they was doing. They was killing Jesus because he's a blasphemer. And yet Jesus knew they didn't know what they was doing. They were so blinded by sin and hatred. Jesus didn't just value your life because you are a Christian. Jesus valued your life even as a sinner. And he died for you. God didn't give us justice. God gave us grace. And I pray that you don't just love you and people like you. I pray you love sinners. And that you value them. From the moment they're conceived in their mama's womb to the last breath they draw. And I pray we understand I don't ever have the right to take a life. Never. Because when I do, I devalue God. Please know, if you forced your girlfriend to abort, if you got rid of that baby, if you've contemplated, you can be forgiven. You can be forgiven. Please don't live in that bondage. But know God loves you, and he died for all this sin, even on the cross. Because as much as he loves your life, what he ultimately loves is your soul. And he wants you to turn from sin and put your faith in him, and you can be redeemed and recreated in the image of Christ. Don't let Satan keep causing you to believe everything that's happened to you is because of what you've done in your past. No, you can be forgiven. Father, I know we've just talked, but I pray in talking, not preaching, hopefully someone has been given a piece of information that maybe they didn't have before, and now they begin to understand why the church takes the position that it takes. And it's why there's just some things we can't do. It's what makes life hard for us in this life. Because we don't operate on a philosophical system. Yes, we're a democratic people, but our first allegiance has to be to you. Therefore, we value life. Not just our lives, but all lives. Because we know you value all. And because we value life, yes, there's going to be times when we're going to take the life of another justly through the government, not individually ourselves. And if we ever make that mistake, we're going to pay for it. Father, please restore this nation back to the sanctity of life. All life. Therefore, let us have the best prenatal care we can have. Let us have the best elderly care we can have. And let us have the best care we can have in between. So that we show how we love you and your image. In your son's name we pray.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.